Bible said in the first chapter, the first verse in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." I want you to listen. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I'm not going to go any further right there in that chapter. But I'm going to preach tonight by the help and the grace of God on the signs of the coming of the Lord. And if we was ever living in the last day, I believe that we're living in it now. Could you say amen? If we're living, ever lived in the last days, we're living in it now. Because I never seen so many people turning about face and walking away from God. And the Word of God, it said, except there come a falling away first, the end would not be. And brother, sister, if there's ever a time that the church world is falling away from the love of God, it's now. I heard a preacher preach several years ago, and he said a lot of people are talking about people backsliding. Well, he said, I know there's some backsliding, but I'll tell you what I believe is happening more than anything else, that the people of God have just simmered down in their pews, and they've dried up, and have become so dead spiritually that the Spirit of God and the work of God and the program of God is just moving off and leaving them set there. Well, I don't know so much about that, but I'll tell you one thing I do know. I've been in this type of work and pastoring the church and what have you, and visiting other churches, and it's not only one church, it's an entire world over. You'll find this very thing is happening today, that churchgoers back years ago that loved the Word of God and loved the house of God and loved to tend the house of God and worship God is turning a back face and walking away today, and they don't want anything to do with the work of God today. But I'll tell you, one thing about it, I believe that Jesus is going to come, and I believe this, that we're not prayed up and on fire for God and up and about the Father's business, that He makes His appearing and catches us lukewarm condition. I believe the Word of God said He was going to spew us out of His mouth, and I want you to know this today, that I believe this, unless a Christian's on fire for God and Jesus Christ went to eastern skies and makes His way back together in the church, I believe you'll be set left. You'll be left sitting rather on your pews. And I want you to know this tonight, it's going to behoove you and I to be up and about the Father's business. The Bible said in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, he said, "This knowing also that in the last days perilous times will come." You know what perilous is? The Bible said perilous times is dangerous times. If we's ever living in a dangerous time, it's now. Why? Because the enemy is deceiving on every hand and devouring on every hand. People are not prayed up and on fire for God enough to have enough of the discernment of the Spirit of God that when He comes to discern Him out. And brother, the Bible said to be not deceived, for God is not mocked. He said, whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. He said, if he sows to his flesh, he'll reap corruption. adoption. Help your souls to the Spirit, to the Spirit. He'll reap life everlasting. He said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will receive if you faint not. I preached down home here a while back on men ought always to pray and not to faint, but I said, I'll tell you what's wrong today. I said, people are fainting before they get their pen done, before they get their job done. They're praying. They are fainting out, and that's causing many people to go down in defeat. And unless we shake ourselves, as Samson did back yonder, and find out that the power of God had left him. Oh yes, he'd done it all time before. When they cried out to Philistines, be upon you, brother, he'd raise and shake himself and break every band that they had him bound with. But brother, they come a time when he laid his head into the lap of the world. And brother, one time he rose. He rose an all time before. And the Bible said when he rose, he found out that the power of God had left him. I want you to know this. I believe that there are going to be a lot of baptized saints one of these times raise and find out that the power of God has left them. I know this ain't very popular preaching in the day that we're living in, but I thought about this so much. Back a few years ago when I first started serving God, everybody loved God. You know why they loved God? They was praying people. I told our people down home church here a while back, I said, I butted my head, I saying his end of the wall. I've wallowed and I've prayed and I've cried and I've begged God to stir the people, to get them on fire for God and get ready for the coming of the Lord. And I said, seemed like it just like we're saying it beat in the air, fighting a losing battle. But I want you to know this tonight. Folks, Jesus is going to come. And when you might say, brother, when is he coming? He's going to come when you're not least expecting him. That's when he's going to come. And I believe tonight that we could just about say the word that people are not looking for him to come. They're too much carried away in the things of this world. They're not really realizing that we're living where we are. I know that a lot of people say, well, brother, Reagan has gone over in Russia and they're going to get together and they're going to do away with this and way with that and this thing and that thing, and how they're going to work out a peace plan. But I'll tell you what the Word of God said. The Word of God said, when they say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction cometh upon you, have traveled upon a woman with child, and you shall not escape. Brother, I want you to know this tonight. I'm not looking for any peace only when I get to heaven. In this world, I don't believe there's going to be any more pain. Brother, I'll tell you what I believe, the only way and the only place we're going to find peace, and that's when we enter the gates of the city of God and hear the word said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. If you're looking for man to bring peace, you're just looking the wrong way. As far as I know, and I'm not saying this to unchristianize anybody, I'm not saying this to throw no slurs at our government or whatever, but brother, when he come back and set his foot down on American soil again, he'll have the same problems he's always had. I know people are looking at our leaders to work out different thing, but I'll tell you the only leader I'm looking to. Had to work out something, and that's God Almighty here in the city of God. Brother, I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, this old flashy man on this earth doesn't have any power to work out nothing. But brother, it's going to take God to settle this thing for us. And if we're going to go to heaven, we better get on board now. Because I often think like this, that the Spirit of God said His Spirit would not always strive with man. We're living in a time that people think and act like that God's obligated to live with them regardless of the life that they live. But I'll tell you the only way that I find that God is obligated to live with us, if we'll walk uprightly before God, keep God's commandments and do the will of God, then He's obligated to hear us when we pray. Oh, praise God. I praise God that I got in this thing when I did. I thank God for the 45 years that I've been serving God. I thank God for the determination that God gave me to start with. Oh, yes, it's not been an easy road. I've had my ups and downs. I've had my disappointments and what have you, but I thank God for one thing that I got established in the Word of God and in God when it did. Because if I had not, maybe in this day that I'm living now, I might have not got where I'm at now. But thank God I wouldn't trade my place for nobody else's place. Because I know where I stand before God tonight. I know God's in my life, and I know God's brought me thus far, and I know God's going to finish the race for me, because I believe I put my little hand in His big hand, and I believe He's going to take a hold of me and lead and guide and direct me in the ways of all truth. Think about this chapter here that we're on. He went on to say in the second verse, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Maybe I shouldn't say too much right here, but there's a great message in them few words right there. Did you ever see a time, and young people, I'm not scolding you, but did you ever see a time that it was ever so hard to try to get along with young people? To try to teach your young people. To try to teach your family the way they ought to go. Brother, I raised a child myself. And I'll tell you, he got very, very disobedient. And he called me several heartaches. But thank God for one thing, he's settled down now. He's like an old man. But I'll tell you, I had problems with him. When he was growing up, when he was young, he had a mind of his own. And he thought Dad was born 30 years too soon, I reckon. Because he thought he knew it all, and I was too old to tell him anything. Because I didn't know the ways of life. But I'll tell you, young people, tonight. Brother, if you've got a good Christian father or mother, or either one of them, you'd better take prior warning. When they try to teach you something, you better listen. Because, brother, you're going to wind up in trouble if you fail to do so. They're trying to give you the best of instruction how to live this life. And if you rebel against them, you're going to wind up in the bad. I've seen this happen more than one time. That young people, I got their minds that they wanted to go their way. Like I said about that prodigal son, he got in his mind that he didn't want to stay with dad any longer. He didn't want to stay with mom any longer. He didn't want their, in other words, their authority over him. He wanted to be out where he could do what he wanted to do. You've heard this, ain't you, before? I want to go out and do my thing. Well, I'll tell you one thing about it. After you've done your thing, you'll find out it's not too pleasant. You'll find out you'd have been a whole lot better off if you'd listened to dad and mother and stayed at home and behaved yourself. But that young man, he thought there's something better in life down yonder. And he wanted to go out and sow his wild oats, as we call them. Well, he did so. He had the privilege to. His dad just gave him everything that belonged to him. Just let him go. My dad used to tell me this. He said, son, I'm going to tell you something. He said, malt lathering is the best learning that a man ever got. He said, just go on. If you don't want to listen to nobody, if you don't want to take good instruction, he said, just go on and learn for yourself. Well, I'll tell you what I found out. It was pretty hard learning sometimes. It was pretty hard learning sometimes. But if I'd listened to dad, if I'd listened to mother, it wouldn't have been half as bad. I'm preaching to you tonight. I'm trying to warn you. I've got a little age on me. I've done come through this thing. One of these young boys said, hugged my neck last night and said, how are you? I said, all right for an old man. Why, he said, you ain't old. You don't even look old. I said, when you get 70 years old, you're old. Whether you believe it or not. Well, I said, one thing about it, I said, I ain't what I used to be. That's for sure. But I'm glad for one thing. I'm not glad that I'm 70 years old, really. But I wouldn't trade my life for some of you young people. You hear what I'm saying tonight? Why, I say, you don't you want to be young? No. No, I don't want to have to come up to this again. I'm too near home. Boy, I'm too near home. I've about got the race run. Why do I want to start back again? Thank God I've got it made just about it. And it won't be long till I'll receive my crown. Over yonder on the other side, you might say, brother, do you believe God's got one for you? I sure do. I sure do. And I don't want nobody to steal it from me, because I want to go sometime and get it for myself. But I'll tell you one thing about it. I've got a few more roads. A few more roads to travel. A few more miles to go until I get there. But thank God it'll be worthwhile for everything that I've ever had to suffer in this life to see what it looks like in the sight of heaven. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Did you ever see a time of such an unthankful time in your life? I believe you could give people everything in this world just about it. And they'd still grumble and moan and groan because they didn't have something else. I thought about one writer in the Bible. He said, be content with whatsoever state you're in. In other words, if you got water and cornbread, eat it and be content.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen.
I thought about talking to an old preacher man one time. And he told me he went to preach a revival. And it didn't have nowhere for him to stay. He said he slept in the church house on some old hardboard pews. It was blackberry time. Blackberries were ripe. And he said, I'd go out and I'd pick me enough blackberries to eat. I'd go to the branch and get me some water and drink it. And that's what he lived on. And preached the Word of God. Folks, I've never been in that place. But I remember talking to a certain brother. And he's telling me about his daughter-in-law and son, her daughter, I believe it was, and son-in-law, over in the Philippine Islands, doing missionary work. He said he went over and stayed with them a while. Preached with them. Said them people over there don't have anything. They don't even have a floor in their huts. Live on the ground. They don't even have furniture. They just throw an old garment or something down on the ground and lay down on it. He said they eat dog meat for food. And I said, I'm going to ask you one fire question. I said, did you eat with them? He said, I eat the very same food they eat. He said, you have to eat with them to win them. Well, I've never been in that place yet. God has never called me into anything like that yet. But I appreciate what God's done for me tonight. And I want to try to make it into the city of God. But I'm trying to get across to you tonight where we're living. And he said, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady high-minded, lovers of pleasures. What? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Did you ever see a time like that? What I said just a minute ago. Seems like there's people seeking every kind of pleasure without going to the Word of God and finding what they need there. Prayer is something that will bring more pleasure to people than anything I know of. I've had people say, brother, what do you do for recreation? I don't know of a better thing in the world to do than to pray and seek God and preach the Word of God. So over in 2 Thessalonians, he said, the second chapter, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. How many believes that?
Amen.
Is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. thinking about that scripture right there. Except there come a falling away first. Except there come a falling away first, the end will not be. Well, that's here. That's here. Go to your churches. I thought about talking to a brother here a while back. And he said that they, I forgot the number that he said they did run, but they was better than half below what they used to run in church. And he said if it continues to go down, like it's going to go, like it's been going down, he said, I guess we'll be like a lot of other people. He said, I guess we'll shut the door. I guess we'll shut the door. Talking to another person not too long ago, he said they have closed the churches where he lived. Used to be great churches, he said, good attendance. They just quit coming. Just quit coming. My brother-in-law was home with me and the wife about 2-3 weeks ago, a Catholic priest. He's out in Nevada. He has a big church out in Nevada. And he said just not too many miles from him, they've closed up one of their big Catholic churches. I said, why did they close it? He said, the people quit going to church. People quit going to church, he said. They didn't have no attendance. And so they just closed it up. So that's happening all over the world. All over the world. You know why it's happening? Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Jesus is coming, I said. And if we're not ready tonight, we'd better get ready.
Amen, brother.
If you ain't prayed for the last week or two, I'd say this, you need to hit an altar. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 40 years. Brother, I'll tell you what's going to keep you a Christian is pray and seek the face of God. All right, I'm going over to the 21st chapter of Luke. And it said, when you see, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the country enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. There shall be great distress in the land, wrath upon his people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Here's one thing I want you to get very closely. Men's heart fell in them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, I want to ask you for a question. Do we see these things?
Yes, sir.
I believe the medical science, I believe they declare that the two major diseases that's killing so many people today, I believe it's heart trouble and then cancer. And you never seen or heard tell of as many heart conditions as they are now. Seem like if it's not heart trouble, it's cancer. But the most of the people seem like has something wrong with their heart. My wife has a heart condition. She had a spell and she went to the doctor and they put her in the hospital. And they wanted to stop her heart and then restart it. And I don't know a bunch of stuff. And I rebelled against it. I told them, I said, no, you're not going to do that. I said, her heart's beating and we'll let it beat like it is. And put her on medication if you want to. Well, the specialist, he just shrugged his shoulders and like it made him mad. Because I wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do. And he said, it won't do no good. I said, well, we'll try it and see. But he didn't know what I was depending on.
Amen,
I had glory to God, I had a God that I was depending on.
Glory to you.
I wasn't depending on the medical science, no how. So they put her on medication and we went to praying over church in the doctor. And now the last few times she's been back, everything's fine. Everything's fine. But I said that to say this. They are, right here's a brother. Just had heart surgery. I've got a brother down in Flatwoods. Had heart surgery. About 2 years ago. Heart trouble. I had one died here. About 2 years ago, or about a year and a half ago, had 5 bypasses put in his heart. Never did do no good. Took him out of this life. We've got heart victims down home. Everywhere around down there, there's plenty of people got heart trouble. They cancers eating people up. Sister Hazel Bailey, right in our church, right next door. To the church. Real bad with cancer. She's had surgery. She had to take these treatments. And her strength and all is just about gone. But what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. That these things is happening because it's the last day. Because we're living down in the Saturday evening of time. He said when you see these things come to pass. Lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. He said in another place, when you see these things, you can say that it's even at the door.
Yes.
Brother, I can say tonight that it's at the door.
Yes.
Jesus is right near His coming.
Yes.
Because we're living in the last days. I want to say this tonight. He said, in this day, that there'd be pestilence.
Yes.
You know what the Bible declares as a pestilence? I used to think it was a bug or a worm.
Come on, Brother Benny.
Not so, it's plagues.
Yes.
It's infection. It's diseases. And contagious diseases.
Come on.
I want to use just one thought here. And I hope I don't get too personal. But this AIDS that hit our land and country today, they claim there ain't no cure. And it's raging, getting worse every day. People's contacting it through blood and different ways. Why? Because that's one of the plagues.
Yes.
in the last day that's going to come upon people. And these contagious disease, they say it's catching. Say you could catch it. So you better be careful. And I'm going to tell you one thing about it. It's getting worse every day that we live. And I'll tell you what I'm looking for. Jesus may come before I go home. I said Jesus may come before I get home. And if he don't come before I get home, I'm going to be like Lloyd Bailey and him when they sang that song. I'm looking for Jesus to come. I'm looking for Jesus to come. I'm going to use one more scripture and then I'm going to try to quit. But you ought to bear with me while I ain't preaching to you no how. Turn your Bible to Romans, the first chapter. And wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Because God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men working with men that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I don't want to get too personal, but Brother Johnny Justice, Murray, told me and the wife that they was up in Detroit. Brother Sam Sawyers had a evangelist preaching a revival for him. Had a very nice looking wife. The pastor, while he's preaching a revival, his wife was rather nice looking woman. And then his two women got to courting. Now ain't that shame? Ain't that sickening? But these two women got to courting. And you know what these two women done? They left their husbands. Two preachers' wives, if you please. They left their husband and they're in California right now living as man and wife. Living as man and wife. But you know that's a common thing anymore.
Yes, it is.
Lesbians is thick. Gays is thick. They call them gays. They're thick. And they're as bold as a lion with it. You know why? I'll tell you why. God's got people's hearts and minds seared over with a hot iron. They don't care for nothing anymore. They don't care how dirty and how filthy and anything is anymore. That's the kind of a life we're living, kind of a world we're living in. And that's nothing more than bringing Jesus back to His coming. And as I close tonight, I want to know, is there one soul here tonight that you don't know Jesus as your Savior? You're not saved. You know you ain't saved. You've never been converted. Is there any? All right, I'm going to ask you another question. Is there any souls here tonight that knows for a surety that you're not where you started out with God now? You're not where you once started with God. Is there any in that condition? Listen, folks, this thing's serious. Jesus may come before morning. The way the world is, and the condition of the world, and the corruption that's in the world, and people defying the Word of God, rebelling against God, and living the kind of a life they're living, it wouldn't surprise me, that Jesus don't come at any time. Wouldn't surprise me that He don't come at any time. And tonight, if He'd come, would He catch some of you not prayed up, not on fire, not ready to go? I've often thought like this. It's going to be a sad time. Brother Doc Kirk, back years ago, Sister Ruby Kirk's husband, when they said they had the Northern Lights, I don't know what it was, but I know it was a dreadful looking time. And he walked out on the back porch of their little home over from where I live now, and he looked into the sky, and now here's the words of Brother Doc Kirk. At that time, he wasn't a brother. He was a very, very rank sinner. He said, "Well, it looks like it is right here. But I'm not ready." He said, "It looks like it is right here, and I'm not ready. I'm not ready." How many thousands of people are going to be caught in that very condition? They're going to look out and they'll say, "There he comes, and I'm not ready." And you know what? It's going to be the one of the awfulest prayer meetings that you ever hear in your life, but it's going to be too late for a lot of people. Going to be too late for a lot of people. I said when I was praying to get saved, I said if I'd have had 1 hour to live, I'd have been a lost man. I prayed 3 nights as hard as a man could pray to try to get saved, and seemed like I could not get enough faith in God to believe that He could save me. Because I was such a rowdy fellow, I reckon. But I'll tell you one thing about it. There's going to be a lot of people left out. Get a song. Let's sing tonight. I believe we ought to have an altar service. I believe it would help every one of us to pray some more, don't you? Amen. I don't believe we can pray too much. I hope you've got something out of this tonight that will stir your heart some way or other.